All right, let's start today from the book of Daniel. We were reading that last time. Let's pick up from there. We have been speaking about prayer and personal purification in this, our school of prayer. Sometimes people ask me that, how do I pray? The most important thing is for us to understand that to have the right thoughts and the right thought processes in our hearts rather than follow a particular method. That's what I want to say, all right? The method is not, okay, do I kneel down? Do I stand up? Sometimes people ask whether what they need is, we give different names to prayer, prayer of petition, prayer of this, and they are really correct. But what we need to know is that we must have understanding of what we are doing so that we do not misdirect our effort. Sometimes people are praying, but they are praying about what is not actually not a prayer point. Do you understand? For example, Jesus says something like this: take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. What we shall eat, what we shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. If we turn that thing to a prayer point, it's a misguided prayer point. Jesus, the scriptures make it clear to us that we are seated above in Christ Jesus, and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And like I say all the time, Christians, at least in today's Christianity, people now spend a lot of effort trying to fight these their imaginary enemies. Again, it is a misguided prayer. You understand my point? If we know what is right, if we understand the underlying principles, then you can pray any way you like. There are things you will not bother praying about, like I said before. There are things Jesus said we must never pray about. There are things he said we should really not pray about. And there are things he says we must pray about. If you don't pray about them, they will not be done. So those are the things we just keep learning. And so we're not here just to pray, but to learn the thing and then how to pray. So that, you know, they came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. So once we know those things, prayer is actually a very simple thing. And one thing I've emphasized over the last few weeks is the fact that prayer is a continual thing. It says, pray without ceasing. It is possible to pray without ceasing if you realize that the very words that you utter, all right, they have spiritual power in them. So you use your words very carefully. All right, so let's continue today from the book of Daniel, chapter 11. Daniel was given a revelation of things to come. We just want to bring out a concept from here. From verse... let me not spend too much time. I'll rush from verse 29. He said, at the appointed time, it will return and come into the south, but this last time, it will not turn away the way it did before. And then, let me just jump here and this was a safe time. So toward the end of that verse, he says, so he will come back and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant, that is, those who despise the Lord. Verse 31 says, and the forces with him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice, and they will set up the abomination of desolation. And by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness. Now, verse 32 is actually where I was going. I just like to read in context. And by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. The King James sounds very nice there. He said they will be strong and show exploits. Those who know their God, they will be strong and do exploits. This one says that they will display strength and take action. And those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. I said, yeah, they will fall by sword and by flame, by captivity and by plunder for many days. Now let me just stop there. Bear that in mind. There is talking about the power of knowledge. That if a woman understands and knows his or her God, then strength is part of that person's life. That is, spiritual strength does not come from just praying. Spiritual strength comes from understanding. It's from knowledge. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Let me just quickly drop this one for us again. It is the area, when we talk about knowing God now, we are talking about the deep understanding of the character of God. What I mean is this. In the area of your life that you recognize God, that is where you experience His power. The one I've been saying again and again to help people to understand is, I talk about when you are eating food, they give you food, the first thing you do is to do what? To give thanks. The reason why you do that is that you are acknowledging that God is a supplier. You are acknowledging that God is the source of all things. If you don't do that, you unconsciously are thinking that your strength, all right, has begotten you this food. You think that your own effort has brought these resources into your life. And I said that if you raise children without understanding that food does not come because daddy works, food does not come because mommy has a job, food comes because it is a gift of God. That a man can walk and have nothing to show for it. That he may gather much, all right, and he puts them into a pocket and he finds that they have holes in them. That the reason why food comes to the table is because God is a supplier. If a child grows up like that without understanding, listen to me, he will never lack in life. If he's in the middle of the Sahara Desert, angels will have to fly food down for him. Are you getting my point? Because he understands that wherever I am, what I'm eating, it may look common. Don't ever forget that. You know, I talk about the simplicity of divine intervention. All right? It may look common. It may look like everybody around is eating. All right? It doesn't matter. It is still God that's delivering your own food to you. The reason why everybody around is eating is because God is merciful. It is not because food is just there. Please, you must understand that. It is possible for God to break the staff of bread. So now, if we understand, that's what I'm trying to explain, the meaning of the knowledge of God. So if you understand God in that area, the strength to have all your needs supplied will never be missing from your life. You know, things happen, you know. Maybe you feel like, you know, actually a friend of mine called me yesterday, and he was talking about how somebody he relied on disappointed him, yet God did not disappoint. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. That is, yeah, of course, he committed his ways unto the Lord, but because he knew somebody, he said, okay, you will help me do this. And he's a good brother, you understand? But that fellow didn't show up for him at all. But despite the fact that fellow didn't show up for him, you understand, he had a lot of help. He had a lot. He said it was as if God just went there and prepared things for him. Let me give an example. Maybe he told somebody, please help me book a hotel as an example. And that fellow did not. When he got there, someone, as they were going for a function. As we were going, somebody said, where are you going? He said, oh, we are going to Enugu. Ah, Enugu. It's not Enugu, just give us an example. He said, Enugu, don't worry. My father has a house there. It's very nice. We have a housekeeper, and there's nobody living in it right now. And there's like 4 rooms. Just say, get there, tell the housekeeper, give him the phone. I'll tell him to let people in. Now, somebody did not agree to book a hotel room for them, yet they got a whole house free of charge. Are you getting my point? Now, so it happens that, you see, you think human beings are the ones helping, but a true believer understands, that's what I'm talking about. He knows that God is the helper. He may use human beings. After all, that house, the fellow who gave it to them, the housekeeper, they are people. All right? But you can see that it was the hand of God, you understand what I'm saying, that arranged everything for them. So that there are times you don't know anybody. Now, I'm talking about the knowledge of God. And you know that wherever I go in life, God will prepare help for me. Now, it's not just about wishing. You know it is inside you. It's just a settled part of your being. Anytime you need help, you will have help. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? That's why I keep on telling Christians to understand. You are not at any disadvantage because you don't know people. It's not right. David said, who do I have in heaven but you? And for that reason, upon this earth, I do not desire to know anybody. He wasn't saying God wouldn't, people wouldn't help him. But he said, this is how the Bible says it. I called a bird of prey from the east, and the man of my purpose from a distant country. That is, God will anoint the help the way he wants it. But I don't lock my eyes, I don't lock my hope on an individual. God can use people. And the Bible says that it's nothing for God to save by few or save by a multitude. Anyone he wants to do, salvation is of the Lord. You know, something happened yesterday, all right? I was just in Israel a bit about it. And I don't know whether that is relevant. Anyway, I had to go to the police station anyway. You know, something happened yesterday. I just got a call. So something happened. What? I got really angry. I got to the station. But something happened. I got there. Now, the Lord is good. Now, what I want to say, you understand what I said? The Lord is good. Actually, I know people. Are you getting my point? Yeah, I know people. I know people. In fact, I just called them apostle. You know, they call somebody. The person that came to solve the matter is a retired military administrator. You understand? I just walked in. Uh-huh. Yeah, where's the DPO? You know, those kind of things. And we just waited outside. Now, I'm going somewhere. I knew that kind of thing could happen. All right? When I got there, one of my friends, he's a pastor. I just sent him a message. I said, boy, I was supposed to have called him. I said, please, I'm at the police station. I'm handling something. I said, big men are coming. You understand? Big people. I had two policemen beside me trying to solve the problem, you know, on my side. So I said, big people are coming. We're waiting outside to have the matter solved inside. I said, but pray. I said, because safety is of the Lord. That's where I'm going. I said, look, I don't want my eye to be distracted by all this, big man kind of thing. No, I said, I just sent him a message. I said, oh boy, please pray for favor. In fact, when I was telling him big men are coming, I was almost confessing it like, we are not relying on this. We are rejecting, in quotes, spiritually now, rejecting the help of man directly and connecting with the help of God. So I said to him, pray for favor. I said, because safety is of the Lord. Because victory is of the Lord. It is God that actually pleads your case. Are you getting my point? So they were telling me, don't mind this. This is how they behave. It's a trivial matter. But as they are saying it outside, on the inside, me, I'm interceding. Are you getting my point? I'm connecting with help from above. I am not fooled to think it is because I know people. Are you getting my point? That the matter just got solved that easily. Of course, I had righteousness on my side. You understand? Okay? Now, the point I'm just making is that in the midst of everything, I refused, okay, to have myself distracted. I just said to my friend, I said, please pray. Because me, I was distracted there by all plenty moving around. I said, you just be praying. Why? I said, safety is of the Lord. Victory is of the Lord. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who made the police force and good luck, Jonathan, and me, and all of us. Are you getting my point? My help comes from the Lord. I'm talking about what it means to know God, though. That's what it means to know God. It's not to be able to tell stories about him. To say, I've gone to church, I have a book written about God. No. It's to recognize that God is in control of different aspects of life. And like somebody said, he said, we experience the power of God in the area we have chosen to believe him. Let me put it in my own words. In the area that we have recognized him. You know, once one of our friends, he said something to me, was applying for a job somewhere. And I happened to know everybody in that place. I said, why did you not tell me now that you were applying for a job there? He said, but you told us that we don't need to know anybody. I said, you are very correct. You know, like the Bible says, you are more righteous than I in this one. He said, and he knew I knew people there. He knew I knew everybody there. And he knew me. But he just said to himself, but the same Pastor Banky said that I don't need to. So why am I telling him? Why am I bothering him? And of course, he got his job. He got his job. You understand my point? If he tells the testimony, you know it's God that just took that and gave to him. Why? Because he recognized that, all right, that it's God that gives these things to people. I'm talking about knowing God. Very important. Any part of your life, don't let Satan, what he does sometimes is to distract us and keep our eyes, you know, in an area. One day, one of our friends, he said something. His son has plenty bushy hair. Meanwhile, his hair, you know, don't they disappear fast, very fast. So he now said, that one, there's no problem. That he always picked that one from his mother. All right, that in the mother's family, there's no baldness. So he now made a statement like, he won't go bald like me. I said, oh boy, error. I'm going somewhere. I said, you see, you have put your hope on the flesh. Very important. Everybody say you want to marry, start doing investigations in the family. But I know I look. Christians, be careful the kind of thing they push you into. Be very, very careful. and say, hey, let's go and investigate the family. All those things, eh? As a believer, when you put your hope in things like that, listen, your failure is right ahead. You will meet it about 15 years' time. You won't know the day you sowed the seed. I just said to my friend that day, I said, forget that one. If you don't want your boy to grow bald, put a hand on his head. I said, this boy, you won't grow bald like me. Simple. That is, we recognize that no baldness is of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's something to recognize God. A lot of times in life, what we do is that we don't recognize Him. We want to prosper in life, we recognize our certificate. So it is God. We want to prosper in life, we recognize the people that we know. So they are God. And that's why God said, I am God and there is none else. Why does it bother with such statements? Because, all right, people often put their eyes somewhere else. So what he's doing is that, oh boy, look this way. That's not God. Are you getting my point? I am God. People often make this mistake because when God uses things to bless them, they now think those things are the source of the blessing. Those things, they can't be the source of the blessing. They are the instruments by which God blesses people. Back to the issue of genetics. I said, I told my friend, that just speak the word to your boy's head. Because we've read the scriptures enough that genetic engineering is of the Lord. All this one of in our family, there's no this kind of disease in our family. Don't worry, in our family they are very intelligent. In our family, I told you before, when it comes to God, you have to choose to reject both the good and the bad if it's natural. Everybody agrees to reject the bad. But when it comes to the good, they want to hold on to it. That weakens your faith. You know, in our family, we live long. There's no family that lives long that we can't know they kill them if they jam them. I don't know whether you heard that. You say, in our family, we live long. So you know how we live long. Let one of them fall from skyscraper. You know, there's no family that has resistance against hitting concrete. When you hit the floor, every family is pulverized. You understand what I'm trying to explain? So, but people think that, you know, because you see, it's what the media puts in our faces every day. But we as Christians, we know God. We recognize God, that what is long, where does long life come from? Is a gift of God. It's from God. It's one that preserves our lives. It is not the genes we did not inherit. Now, these spiritual principles are very important. They shape the way things turn out for us. They do. They decide the experience we will have in life. It is the area in which we have chosen to recognize Him that the power of God is manifested. That's why I say to people all the time, I'm even tired of preaching that message, though it's the truth. We have to keep preaching it. Although people have gotten tired too anyway, you know. Events have proven us right. That prosperity is not in any country. You know, right now, everybody has realized, most people have realized, some people are still foolish to steal, but most people have realized it. You can go to London and you will be poor. You go to United States of America and poverty is waiting for you. When you arrive, shake your hand. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Where do we stay? It's we. You know, it's your friend. That kind of thing. It can happen. People have recognized it. We recognize that it is God that blesses. He's the one that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He is the one. He's the one that said, I can cause prosperity to flow towards you anywhere you are. It will flow like a river. I will cause the wealth of the nations to flow towards you like an overflowing stream. We recognize that. So we know that if we are in Rwanda, we are blessed. That if God says, relocate into the center of Sahara Desert, we know the place will soon blossom because of our presence. We're talking about the knowledge of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. So he says, it's those who know their God that will be strong. They are the ones that will display strength and take action. Now, we're talking about prayer and personal purification. So let me not be sidetracked from the main thing I'm trying to say. But I want to emphasize the issue of that knowledge of God. Therefore, let me just point this one out. Let's even take the very context in which one was spoken. We're talking about purification. You will see now he was talking about people being distracted into idolatry. He was talking about people being deceived by the Antichrist. He was talking about people being, all right, having people having their ways perverted. And how did he say it? Now, let's go back up there. to that chapter, to verse 32. He said, by smooth words, he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant. That is, if you find somebody acting too wickedly towards the covenant, it is because he or she has been turned away by smooth words. I hope we are getting what I'm going to explain. When people are denying the faith, when people are speaking against the word of God, it is because they have been turned away by smooth words. It's very, very important what I'm telling you. Because sometimes when people take, maybe when they make decisions, when they take steps, and they start explaining to you where they are taking the steps, it's usually because they have neglected or they are backsliding from the truth that they used to know. And that's what we're talking about here. That they get by smooth words. Let me give this an example again. You know, once a friend of mine was speaking to me. He was going to move to the UK and all of that. And so we're talking. And he was just talking plenty in my house. Explaining all the good things about living in the UK. I still remember his words. There, you'll be able to plan for your children. I was looking at him as if... In fact, I wasn't looking at him. I was staring out. We're standing in front of my house. We're looking into the sky. And as he was speaking, I realized he was trying to persuade himself that what he was doing was correct. He said, you won't have to worry about this. There, you will do this. And he was talking to me. Let me use this expression. Smooth words. Smooth words. Once he said to me, he said, ah, thank you, on the phone. When are you coming to join us? In my mind, where? Who is us? You know, sometimes it's like people don't, I think they don't understand. Maybe they think I just preach. I don't believe what I'm saying. Because if you hear me speak, there are questions you should not ask me. If you just said, ah, thank you, what are your plans? Do you have anything like this in mind? It's a good question because the Lord can say anything, you understand? But when he asks the question, hey, so... When are you coming to join us? Join us in what? Now, but why did all this smooth talk not move me? That's what I'm talking about. Why was I not persuaded? It's simple. Because, listen, I wasn't born in Enugu State too. I hope you know. Not even in Anambra. Not even in Delta. Not even in Edo State. It's the next state. That's where I was born. The closest I ever came to Enugu before, really, for stay, was school, University of Benin. After that, I went to Lagos to go and do my postgraduate studies. And then I married a woman from Delta State. So by the time I jumped 4 or 5 states and come to Enugu to settle down, you should know that there are things I think about. I don't know whether you get my point. Somebody said that, were you transferred here? I said, when did you hear the university lecturer was transferred? Have you ever heard that the Igwe of this place has been moved? It's not the Igwe of the... So they have a saying in Benin City. They say, Oba, no, they go transfer. So I told the person, which day did you hear Oba went on transfer? University lecturers, they are like that. They don't go on transfer. But that I made my decisions and my motions were based upon understanding and revelation. So that's why I could go anywhere. So when I came here and said to them, I said, well, all this smooth talk... They couldn't move me. They couldn't move me. Why? Because I understood from time. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. That's the base of my actions. I've understood it. I told you, when I'm praying for, when I first came that time, until now, if it happens, my prayer for, okay, maybe I want to move from one house to the other, is never about... Hey, God, oh, help me find the house, oh. Things are rough, oh. Lord, me, I'm your son. You know there's nowhere else I will go. You know those kind of prayers. They are not bad prayers. I'm not saying they are terribly bad prayers. They are not very nice. They sound too beggy. You know what I'm saying? That's my point. That's not Christian prayer, really. All right? As if God forgot that you are his son. You know that kind of thing. He didn't forget. Yeah, they want, anyway, some of those prayers, we are reminding ourselves of things. All right? Uh-huh. But the way I pray my own is that, Lord, okay? Before I came here, you knew I was going to come. So where is the house I'm supposed to be staying in? I'm not planning to stay by the roadside or under a bridge. You know, so where's the house? That's my attitude. I always look out for that which is mine. And you say, what do we mean? I get to a house. It looks very nice. It's a fantastic deal. You understand? It doesn't fit my personality. I don't take it. There's nothing like, opportunity. I said, no, there's not like opportunity. If it's mine, it's wait for me. So once it doesn't fit my person, it's not my own. No. Oh, they're selling house here. Things I could afford easily. No. I look at it. I said, I'm not a real estate dealer. I'm not going to buy a house and rent it to be collecting rent. I said, it's even bad business, generally speaking. Anyway, I said, any house, I have to live in it. So this is not the size of house I will live in. Why do I think like that? Because I don't believe my own is a game of chance. Opportunity, grab it. Listen, let me ask you a question. As you are going on the road, me as I did so, you know, you see me like this. I'm going on the road. I just see one fine woman, I say, opportunity, grab her. You know, you're going to look at a pastor waiting. I say, pastor, that's not your wife. That's not your wife. Did you get my point? How can you just grab up? You look at nonsense of opportunity is that. What do I do? Mrs. B, now you be that. No, okay, sorry. You look like my wife. I thought you were her. You know, you look as, then you see your wife. Okay, I've been waiting for you. I told you I'll wait on the other side. That is, it has a label. That's why she's Mrs. My name. Are you getting my point? It's not opportunity. Grab it. If the opportunity is not my own, you should go and meet the person it was sent for. Now, this is a mindset too. So when I'm praying, I'm looking for the house. I just get there, look at it. This one not gel. Hey, we may not see another one. Why won't I see another one? I will find the one that's my own. And listen, it doesn't fail. It hasn't failed me till now. It has not failed me till now. That I don't cry over, if you had just gotten here, it wasn't mine. I'm talking about why smooth words don't entice me. Because I've come to realize that my future is in God's hands. My life, like I was speaking about a few weeks ago, was planned by God. All I need to do is agree with Him, and you find out His angels are arranging things ahead of time. He's talking about knowing their God. So it's when people don't have this understanding, they're easily enticed. Oh, this is where action is. If you want to just get to Sweden like this, you just be making money. Then suddenly you get up and go and run after money in Sweden. What are you going to do for the Swede? You don't know. What do they need in that country? You don't know. What skills do you have that will help? They say, when we get there, Sha. Useless life. A very stupid way to live. As a daily life, not daily life. See, circumstances wagging you to and fro. Have you ever seen a dog happy? I like the tail will be going like this. A lot of us are like that. The life is just wagging us up and down. That's why it's so easy to entice people. Listen, if you understand that God controls wealth, He controls prosperity, nobody can beg you to come and steal. Nobody. Nobody. Because you won't understand the purpose. So you want to take what God has not given me by force? How? They say, just one run. You just take this wrap of cocaine. Just take this wrap across the border. That's how this guy did it the other time. He made like 15 million naira. Now he started his business. And his business is thriving. Listen, let me just give you a tip by the wayside. Anybody that started a business with stolen money is still stealing. If that business is thriving. He's still stealing. He hasn't stopped. Don't let them deceive you that he just did that deal once. And now, it's a lie. He's still stealing. The way you get a result is the way you sustain it. You start by stealing, you will continue by stealing. And you cannot stop stealing until finally you get to prison. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But those who know their God, they cannot be persuaded with smooth words. That's what we are talking about. They can't be persuaded with smooth words. They know that, listen, this thing is coming from God above. So what are we talking about? Nobody is going to persuade me with smooth words. Don't forget, our message is on prayer. The role it plays in personal purification. Therefore, it means if I will not be persuaded to walk into iniquity, to do wickedly against a covenant, if I will not be persuaded thus with sweet, smooth words, it is not because I just refuse to say, no, I will not be persuaded. It is because I have what? Knowledge. It is because I know my God. You know, I've told you before, let me say it again. If you're a prayer house person, now, just by the way, go and check it. If I'm wrong, come and tell me I'm wrong, and I'll tell you that you don't know what you are saying anyway. This one, I can't be wrong, but go and check. There is nobody who visits prayer houses whose problems go away. Go and check what I'm saying. They only get addicted. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Did you hear what I said? They only get what? They just get addicted. Their problems never, ever go away. Once you are hooked into this prayer house thing, you know what I call prayer house? Which, in case you do not know, is a business house. It's business house. Nobody runs it that's trying to help you. Very important. Nobody runs it that's trying to help you. They are trying to stay afloat. They are trying to make money. Very important what I'm saying. Once you start this prayer house matter, which is a problem today again, even though it's not today's problem, it's been there for a very long time. Every time looking for who we pray, prophesy. In fact, this is how you know you have problems, are these spiritual problems. Once I jump in and they say, there's one man on that side, and you pack your bag, you go there. Are you getting my point? Then after 2 weeks, you say, that one is not powerful enough. There's one woman. There's one woman. She's at this particular, and they describe that place. And you go, just know you are in bondage. Anybody listening to that's been doing like that, just know that you have been picking. Listen, this is a matter of fact. Everywhere you have been going, you have been picking one evil spirit after the other. Your problems have been compounded. If you went there with one-sided migraine before, the first 2 days, the migraine will cool down small. It's called placebo effect. It's a medical word. It means that you have hope, therefore you improve. After 1 week, the migraine will come back on one side and add the other side. Then you need a more powerful prayer house. Then the pain will leave the neck, head, and move down and join the neck. But you eat in between, listen to me, you'll be having reprieve for like a week, a month, sometimes up to 2-3 months. There will be some period in which it appears like things have gotten better. But listen to me, if you have gone to 10, you have 10 new problems. I don't know why I'm saying this. I think some people need to hear it. Let me warn you. If you don't want to die early, avoid prayer houses. You know what they call prayer houses? We're talking about knowledge. There is nobody. Now, let me say this. If you like, think I'm arrogant. But you know what I've realized when you think like that? It's your problem. There is nobody that his or her prayer is more potent than my own. I hope you believe that concerning yourself too. Even Jesus said something to the disciples. Now I'm telling you, when you pray, now I won't even talk to the Father for you anymore. The Father himself does what? He loves you. So, once the Father himself loves you, what is remaining? Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is why I don't have time for prayer houses. What do you need? You need learning houses. Did you hear what I said? What do you need? What do you need? Yes, you need to learn the word of God. I just digress into that. All right? One brother I was talking to you that day. He said, somebody said, okay, let's go for a prayer house. Okay, that's why I remembered it. He said, when he went with them for certain reasons, when they finished, he sent them a message and said, please, that is not the kind of place I go to. Why? Because those who know their God, they cannot be corrupted with smooth words. You go there, everybody is praying and they are handing out candle and oil and things and like that. You're looking at all of them. When they finish, told the people that carried him, they say, listen, I don't come to such places. You don't know where deliverance is. No, you all of you are blind. You have been bewitched. And actually, oh God, I'm digressing again. Actually, those guys are master bewitchers. What did I call them? I don't know whether any English word like bewitchers, but at least you've learned something today. They like to be, that is, there's a way they do it. Actually, what happened, it's a spell. No, oh God. You know, Paul said to the Galatians, who has bewitched you that these people can be bewitched? But why will you not fall for that? That's actually where I'm going. You know, when we're young those days, now, this is the thing. I followed my mother to a prayer. It's a prayer person's house, not the prayer house itself, but you know what I mean, a prophetess's house. And I remember the woman prayed. In fact, okay, I remember I went there twice. Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah. And I never went with my mother. Once it was my father, and the other time it was my cousin, all right, on my mother's side. Now, so the whole family knew that woman. She was a professional, you understand my point? And she used to see visions that used to come to pass, like T.B. Joshua. So those of you who are impressed by that joker, it's not new. You know, maybe that's why I'm not impressed. I've seen his type since I was a child. You know, all these people, you know, I don't know, those of you who grew up in Enugu and Anambra and Imo, you never see anything. We will grow for that side there. What do you never, you know, if we didn't have white garment church here, did you have much? That's why some can be impressive. You know, those of us who have been seeing white garment churches were children. We are not impressed. We've seen small boys prophesy, old men prophesy, and we know it's a business. We've been seeing it for a very long time. Now, let me not digress from the meaning I'm trying to say. Apparently, everybody in my extended family, that's my, I went with my father once. I went with my cousin on my mother's side once. And though I never went with my mother, those are the two times I went there. But I know that she used to go there too. My aunties, everybody went. And the woman used to prophesy. But my mother said something once, which I will never forget. She said, this is the interesting part. When she prophesies, usually it's a bad thing. And that they always come to pass no matter what you do. One day the woman came to my grandfather's house where some of my aunties were and some of my relatives were staying there. Big house, very, you know, those time, old time, big man, you know, big house, have one wife here, those kind of things. But plenty of rooms, kind of house you enter, there are many rooms, like heaven, you know, those kind of places. There are many dwelling places. So many people live there. So she came, and this is what my mother said, that she said that they should pray, that there's death around. Death, death. Now, by the way, death is always around, all right? Okay, but she's sensing death, 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 death. So what should they do now? You will fast, and you will pray, and you will sacrifice this day. My mother said they did everything she commanded. And then one day, my auntie took a title. I've forgotten which, whether in a church or in a, but a title, sha. So everybody in the house was celebrating. I was in university there. I was just a year two student. So one of my cousins, he too was celebrating. My auntie owned a business, so he had a pickup van. So in their celebration, they don't drink. The boy, so the driver went to go and pick some things. The boy decided to, you know, the way policemen do it, just jump at the back of the pickup. And that guy took his speed, you know, it was a bump in the road. He took it at high speed, flung the guy off the back of the pickup. The guy hit his head on the road and died. After all the praying, all the fasting, all the sacrificing, it happened. My mother said, one thing she knows is that there's never any time she says something good will happen, that thing will ever happen. But her negative prophecies never fail. Never. But again, that's not my gist. It was one day my mother and I were talking at home, and she laughed. She said, oh, those are the days of blindness. That's why I'm talking about it. That me? Now, find me in such places, God forbid, bad thing. He said, once he saw the woman, because he was from my place, so my parents went home one day, so I said, she greeted them long time, that he has not seen them in a very long time. They just gave her a diplomatic answer. My mother said, see who? See who? According to her, I have been delivered. Why? How did deliverance come? There was a man, Dr. Lufarati, he has died now, died a few, about I think last year or so, all right? Powerful man of God. He began to teach the word of God. I don't know how somebody invited my mom there. Then the next thing I knew, the whole family was going there. He was not a joking man. What they used to do was preach every week. You gathered in his sitting room. But, no, if not prayer, the man knew how to pray godly prayer, not vision, kind of nonsense vision prayer. In fact, you are... Just come to him, you seek. That's the best time to get to know him.
He will pray for you, you will get well by force. But that's not the issue. He will teach you the word of God until your head corrects. Without saying anything, as he was teaching and teaching and teaching, every week we will go. His sitting room became full. They put benches outside. Finally, he had to negotiate with his church. So he could be using the church hall because he was a veterinary doctor, was practicing in the government service. So he just used to do this ministry thing, what some people call part-time, but it was actually full-time for him. So he now moved to the church, and on his specific day, that is, his congregation was bigger than that church itself. That just used to come from everywhere. But what he used to do was just preach the word of God. I was there. Preach the word of God. I still consider one of the most anointed men I ever met. I told the story before of the man, never tell the story of a man who he splashed water on somebody and he stopped on the way to say, please, I'm sorry. And that one was railing and cursing and cursing and cursing. After a while, he got angry and said, listen, stop that. I'm a man of God. Nobody talks to me like that. So the person, look, there's an anointing upon my head. You don't transgress that anointing like this. That one was still talking. It's okay. I hereby return all your curses to you. That man just dropped that and died. No, not a joking man. I'm not talking about jokers. The man dropped and died. On the spot. He said there were two of them. The other one, and I don't know about here, but you know in the West, when you see things like that, you know, say this man is a powerful man. Said the other one beside him, who had cooled down earlier, he was driving, you know, like driving on the road, maybe near a village. That was when this happened. Out of typical courtesy for someone like him, he came down, he begged them, prostrated, everything. They were just angry, village men. You know what I mean? Just talking. That's why he just told him, look, I hereby return your curses to you. That one, he just dropped, boom, and died. The other one saw it. That is race. He ran to the village to go and gather people. He said he waited there. He just relaxed beside his car, beside the dead body. The villagers came. Those who could knelt down. Those who could prostrate, they were begging, please forgive him. Don't mind the foolish man. He said, I warned him that I am an anointed man of God. You don't talk to me anyhow. After they finished begging him, he had calmed down by then. He went to the body, put a hand on it, commanded the guy to come back to life. The guy coughed, woke up. He entered his car and drove away. The kind of person I'm telling you about. Now, that was the kind of person that began to teach and we used to go and listen to. Without anybody saying, look, prayer house, no prayer house. My mother disappeared from prayer house long ago. She learned that if you want to pray, pray here. If you need prayer, we'll go and meet this man. He will pray the real prayer of God. No visions. He's not promising anybody any visions. Just used to teach the word of God. Every week, we'll go there. Every week. As I listened to him before I entered university. Every week, around 6 or 7 in the evening, we'll go. In his house for like 2 hours. Because he taught people the knowledge of God. That's what I'm talking about. They were no longer corrupted with smooth words. Understanding is what prevents you from being corrupted by smooth words. No matter who is talking, if you know God in an area, there are things you don't just swallow. That's the only time I sit down, people start doing calculation. Give $77 so that you get sevenfold offering, sevenfold breakthrough. This is how I'll be looking at you. I'll be looking at you like this. No, it won't work. It won't work. And my reason is simple. Are you not being stubborn? Stubborn about what? I've heard all kinds of calculations in this my Christianity. Which one have I not heard? I've heard 10,000 for the Father, 10,000 for the Son, 10,000 for the Holy Spirit. I've heard that one. I've heard $58 for 58 blessings. Which one have I not heard? 7 is the number of completion. 5 is the number of grace. You multiply it together, your grace will be completed. And you know, when they come to Nigeria, abroad they can collect $58. 58 naira here no go work. So guys, you just multiply it. So you give 58,000. What have I not heard? 24,000 naira for a 24-hour miracle. As you are saying, I'm looking at you like this. If you talk from now to tomorrow, I'm not shifting. Why? Listen, before you were called to ministry, I was blessed.
Listen, you can't move me. If you need money, open your mouth and say, bros, ministry need this thing. That's it. You're my guy. If I have a law, no good thing occurs where I am without my participation. I learned that from Bishop Oedipo. He said, it's not safe. How can something good be happening and your name is not there? That's just my own principle. If I enter a church today and I see a good work that is going on, even if I don't know how to do something big, quickly I do the one I can there and then, and then I go. If it's a place where I'm aware it's a good work, all I need personally is tell me it's a good work. Persuade me. I'll be telling you all this kalo kalo. When you give God a 1,000 burnt offerings, God will be excited. Listen, God finished with burnt offerings long ago. Once Jesus Christ was knocked to the cross, all his excitement died. That's why I'll just like that. I'll be crossing my leg. I've seen people sweat. I will never. Listen, this is how you get money from Christians. Say, brethren, we have work to do. The other day, just by the way, for those who want to understand, my alumni fellowship, where I'm the president, once, one brother gave as an offering towards the, because we have a 3-day convention every year, though we have a convention year, but 3 days a year we gather, and we gather in large numbers, and we spend money. That is, any hotel we take, we close it, essentially. Let me tell you, the way we've been using for the last few years is Precious Palm Royal Hotel. Sometimes when we are through, we are begging them for more rooms, they can't find. And each person just shows up, write your name down. That's all. Food is free, accommodation is free. That weekend, we blow 4 million naira, 3 days. That's how we spend it. Where does the money come from? We don't charge anybody anything. Just walking. So where do we get the money? It's simple. Okay, so brethren, all right. We need money for the next convention here. Everybody take a piece of paper, write what you are giving so that we'll remind you. That's all. That is all. That's all the talk. I don't know what I heard I said. That is all the talk. That's how you deal with Christians. All this one of 15,000 naira for 15 kinds of blessings is nonsense. When you see real Christians, they don't need that. Now, I'm digressing to just point out an issue. Talking about knowledge. Knowledge. That's how people are getting that. They are doing all the calculations. If you give 5,000 naira, you multiply it by this and grace will be amplified in your life. This is how I'm looking at you. How will grace be amplified in my life? The Bible says, Peter said, grace is amplified through the knowledge of God, not through any offering. This is how I'll be looking at you. I've seen people tell me that God spoke to me. I said, you don't lie. God didn't tell you anything. I know where this your message came from. Just don't lie about it. Now, this is the point. Why do I have some Christians are afraid. People are afraid. Why do I have that boldness? Why is that somebody saying that I'm just looking at him? He says, there may be a blessing, I just don't need it. Yeah, there may be a blessing, I just don't need it. You don't want a blessing? I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If I need anything, I ask God for it. I walk faithfully, that's all I need. I'm not going to use the word of any man to claim anything from God because I gave him money. Never. Say, Lord, though, you know that man of God said, if I give 10,000 naira, say, prove me now. Prove me now, Lord. Let's prove each other. There are simple words that I can use to prove God. Yes, now. Let me kneel down now. Abi? Let me ask now. In his name now. That's all. People say that, but Hannah promised God a son. I said, Hannah didn't have the name of Jesus. And that son, God collected it on credit, if you know what I'm going to say. He collected Jesus Christ long ago. I already gave him that one. He died for all, that all who live now no longer live for themselves. That's all I need to do. I've already, his whole life, I've carried my life given to Christ. So that means Jesus Christ, God collected it on credit. In quotes, if anybody is the one owing. I don't know what I get with my logic there. He collected it 2,000 years ago. I'm not afraid. That's why I'm never afraid. I'm never afraid. I'm bringing an issue here. What gives me that confidence? Why is it that I cannot be swayed by smooth words? It's knowledge. What did I call it?
Knowledge.
What did I call it?
Knowledge.
He said, those who know their God. He said, this man will use smooth words, all right, to distract them towards doing wickedly
those who you find turning against the covenant of God. He said, but if they actually know their God, they will be strong. They will display strength and they will take action. Nobody will be able to smooth talk them into doing that which is against the will of God. A man came to me once. He said, this was before the days of biometrics. Now it won't work anymore. But those before they started using biometrics, as scanning your eye, taking all your fingerprint, like temprinting you, you know. So American visa, something, something for sale, very sensitive permit. Say 400,000 naira. Hey, that time 400,000 will buy you a very nice small, you know, Tokumbo, an old Jetta. I remember I just looked at him. I said, if they dashed me for free, I wouldn't collect it. He said, I forgot. I asked the wrong person. I said, I'm happy you know you asked the wrong person. I considered it an insult to be made that kind of offer. You will give me somebody else's American visa, residency permit, and I will go on that name, deny my father, my mother, my brothers, my certificates, and it's everything I've done in life. This beautiful name, Bankole, you know, now somebody called Abdullahi. What kind of insult is that? Why? Because I want to go and work to earn money. Why can't I work here and earn money? You know, something just doesn't remove me. You know, like I said, there are things I don't consider temptation. No, I don't know. You have to be stupid to call something temptation. It's still money. Let's share it. Is that temptation? You might as well go and carry sarana and say, oh boy, see better sarana. Let's share it. And I'll call it temptation. You want to poison me, I call it temptation. Say, this food, when we're cooking it, we put a lot of weed killer inside. The meat was boiled inside, what do you call it? Insecticide. Can't you feel the aroma? Yes. Take your portion. He said, I'm just offering it because you are hungry. Are you getting my point? Some things are not temptations. They're not. It's not tempting. But why is it not tempting? It is because I know my God. I know the power to give me everything lies with Him. I'm more afraid. And for my friends, Brendan and I were talking this evening. I said, listen, they say fear of God. A Christian should not fear God. You know, we don't fear Him as fear a rattlesnake. What we do is that we just reverence Him. I said, it's a lie. The Greek word for fear is fear. The Hebrew word for fear is fear. The English word for fear is fear. The Igbo word for fear is fear. The Hausa word for fear is fear. The Swahili word for fear is fear. The Yoruba word for fear is fear. The French word for fear is fear. You don't fear God like a rattlesnake. Better fear the rattlesnake. Oh. Yes, fear God like you fear a rattlesnake. Because there is a side of God. But like I told my brother, I said, in case you forget, go and ask Ananias. And Ananias and his wife. They said, that one's Old Testament. No, that one in the New Testament. Now, Peter do those people in. With Peter even said the girl upset, the woman. The husband don't die. He said, hide the body. The woman came and said, hey, let me see whether you are together. Was this what happened? He said, yes, my Lord, that was what happened. Okay, boys, bury the second. The girl just died. They say, fear as a Christian, fear just means to reverence. Reverence is good, amen? It also means to be afraid. Yeah, and I'm telling you. That's why some things are not temptations. You don't want to annoy God. He will bite you like a rattlesnake does. And his own poison, more deadly. Now, please, I'm explaining the issue of what? Knowledge. Why it is not possible to smooth talk somebody who has good knowledge of God. You can't smooth talk the person. We're talking about prayer and personal purification. And I say, what is the prayer side of it? That's what I'm talking about. Let's now read Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll continue from there. What we have been discussing is how we use prayer to keep ourselves in the center of the will of God. That's the thing. So the other scripture I want us to read, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read that one. So that brings us to the issue of prayer. Verse 15 says, for this reason I too,
having, or he says some things, of course, before that. He said, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, so that you will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the body, which is his, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, there is something else. Let me just read this one. The other one is from the, anyway, we'll refer to it later. The other one is from the book of Daniel. You find that when Daniel was waiting for that angel that came after 3 weeks of his praying, he said he came to give Daniel insight and understanding. That's what he came to give Daniel, to give him insight and understanding. The point I'm trying to make here is this. You know, we're talking about all this all the while, that it's only when we don't have an understanding of God, the knowledge of God, that we're easily taken by smooth words. And therefore, we are talking about prayer and personal purification. Therefore, if you want to ensure that you are not taken by smooth words, what do you go after, therefore? Answer me.
Knowledge.
Knowledge and understanding. And God says it very clearly. I will give you pastors. That word, if you see the word pastors in the Bible, people say that they are fivefold ministries. But actually, I've studied enough. I don't have time to discuss it. There are four. He said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. That's how he said it. He didn't say, and some pastors and some teachers. He said, and some pastors and teachers. A pastor is not the man who visits you when you are sick. That's a deacon's job. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's an elder's job. Call upon the elders. Anyone sick amongst you, call upon the elders of the church. You understand? The primary duty of the pastor is to feed with the word of God. You understand? So that's why every pastor is supposed to teach the word of God. Every. These days we use a title actually as an administrative title. Alright? Not really as a calling. You know, it's that who's in charge of this church is the pastor. Now, but strictly speaking, it doesn't have to be. It can be an apostle. It can be. There are many things it could be. But I'm talking about ministry offices. A pastor is a teacher. Alright? That's why I said he gave some as pastors and teachers, all right? He combined it together. The reason is because he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge. They will feed you with understanding. That's what they do, all right? So those are the promises of God. God realized that that one is important for the people to be stable. Stability comes from knowledge. Stability comes from understanding. So many years ago, as a young Christian, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin taught us this Ephesian prayer, which I have not recovered from since I started hearing it in 1987, thereabout. And he said that he was a pastor for a long time, a preacher. And then one day he stumbled upon this, and he began to pray this portion of Ephesians we just read for himself. And he had so much understanding in the next few weeks and months than all his years of ministry before then. He said there was so much insight he was getting that he had to ask himself, he had to ask his wife, what on God's earth have I been preaching? I've been preaching for years. Then when he began to pray that prayer, he has so much understanding. And let me just really say this. Understanding is not only for preachers, though. What did I say? It's not. A preacher is supposed to have understanding, number one, and then have the ability to deliver it. Not everybody has the ability to deliver, but everybody should have understanding. The aim of the preacher of the word of God is to let you have everything that he has also, so it becomes your own. That's the idea. It is not, listen, let me just say this briefly.
if I have an understand that if I have understanding of the word of God over a broad area, and it's producing for me effectiveness in ministry, all right, preaching the word of God. Somebody else who listens to me for a while, all right, let's assume, it's not good, but let's assume that I'm the only person that fellow is listening to, all right? It's not good, though. What did I say? It's not good, though. It's not good. That's why anytime somebody blesses me, I share the materials around. I give to everybody, hey, go and listen to that to bless you. I recommend the books, okay? All right? Now, I read a lot, so sometimes people say, don't worry, be reading. I'll be listening to you. It's not good. It's still not good. All right? Just, you have to listen. But let's even assume I'm the only person the fellow is listening to. And after a number of years, the fellow has heard everything that I know and the fellow has imbibed those things. Anything that is producing in my life in ministry, if that fellow is a businessman, he should have that degree of result in doing business. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Yes. If I'm reaching multitudes, if many lives are being transformed, his goods should be reaching multitudes and many people should be blessed by them. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Yes, that's people think that learning is for preachers. No, no. It's for everybody. You're supposed to know everything I know. The only thing that you may not have a ministry hall that you teach the word from. You may not write books on spiritual subjects. You may not. Okay? Maybe less than one in 12 of us. Maybe about that. We do that. All right? That's just my own estimate. But the other 11 out of the 12, you are supposed to have that understanding and use it in research. If you enter into a laboratory, and the way I will open a Bible, you understand? And be able to bring out new things. He said, a scribe who has been instructed in the wheels of the kingdom is like the keeper of the treasure house, all right? Who from a keeper of the house, who from his treasure brings forth treasures, both new and old. In the same manner, somebody who doesn't have my own unction concerning decoding and interpreting and explaining scriptures, but haven't heard me explain it, he goes with the same understanding. He will look at an atom and see things. You are getting my point? He will see a new area. You know, this is good property for development. Me, I will pass it every day. I'll say, this bush looks nice, so God is good. I see bush. This is property for development. All right? And on that one, he's a salesperson. Anything he puts his hand to, sells. Some come with manufacturing abilities. They just bring the thing out of... I remember the book I recommended, the Ajay Lotono. Man said one day he entered his, he came home to sleep after a Bible, a church meeting. It finished very late. As he laid down to sleep, something entered his head. He got up and went to his study and began to sketch. Next morning, he gave to his engineers. Guys, look at the next machine we are building. It took them weeks to be able to decode his sketching and put the drawings in the proper engineering format to commence manufacturing. He did that in a few hours. Do you get my point? I'm not emphasizing the fact that everybody needs understanding. In fact, we're talking about so that you won't be carried away by smooth words. You need to know. Every Christian needs it. So I'm emphasizing the fact that this Ephesians chapter 1, Kenegan prayed it for himself until he had insight and he was able to do ministry effectively. I am saying the engineer should pray this for himself, for herself. The lawyer should come in and pray this. God will give that lawyer understanding. He will transform legal systems. And while doing that, we not soil his hands, we not soil our hands. The entrepreneur will pray this. They will have insight and understanding. That's what prayer is for. All my enemies that say I won't succeed in this business, don't worry about it. What did I say?
Don't worry about it.
What you need is what the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. That in the midst of adversity, you will have the kind of insight and understanding that all your adversaries will have to shut up. All of them, all the adversaries will shut up. That's what we need. You know, all this might talk about last week, I was trying to emphasize to people, this prayer epidemic of pursuing people that are not the problem you have is unnecessary. So what I began to talk about, I began last time, I tried to enter it into it today, but I'm not finishing it, but I have to close now, is the fact that a critical part of your prayer life must be prayed like this, that God will give you understanding. And this is the interesting part. Every time in life, you know, there's general understanding you keep on grabbing as you are living. But every time in life, things begin to get rough. Before you start saying, this devil, this devil, this devil, this devil, Wait. What you need is what? Insight first, understanding. So when things are a bit twisted, is the time a man needs to set aside, a woman needs to pull aside and say, what is going on? God, give me insight. Give me understanding. And God will reveal himself to you different ways. You read a book, somebody tells you something, or you dream. It happens. So that's it. Forget your enemies. Forget your... The people who are sending arrows. Is there back to sender? I don't care where it goes. It cannot enter my heart. That's what the Bible says. Amen? No, I quench them. And quenching them is not by facing them. People misunderstand that scripture. He said, with the shield of faith, we quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. We don't understand spiritual warfare. It's not as if we are standing here. Satan, are you ready? Yes. Round one. You know, you start fighting Satan. Listen, Satan existed, but Abraham did not know. I hope you know that. Satan existed, Job did not know. I hope you know that. Satan existed, Jacob was not aware. Joseph did not know. I'm not aware Moses ever refers to him. Did they fight spiritual warfare? You can be sure they did. And I say, okay, how did they manage? Because he's not worthy of that kind of attention. Shield of faith. What is shield of faith? What is the shield? Faith. What is faith? To make a commitment to the revelation of God that you have been given. It always quenches the fiery darts of the devil, whether you know about them or not. Because when the devil is firing the fiery dart, you will not know his fiery dart. You just know his disobedience to the word of God. I don't know whether you get my point. That's all you will know. And you'll say, the devil is firing an arrow. Guys, oh yeah, give me the shield. Mark! On a home video. In real life, this is the fairy dart. Sis, excuse me. Has God really said, thou shalt not eat of any of the trees in the garden? No, he didn't say it like that. He said, we can't eat this one, but we can't even touch it also. You will not surely die. Can you see that? It's inciting to disobedience. That's the fairy dart. But the woman of God will have said, it is written. Are you getting what I'm saying? Thou shalt not eat of it. That's it. They have quenched that. Listen, this country, you have to be smart. The way we are going, everything will soon scatter. You see what I'm saying? He wants to scare you. You don't realize it's the fairy dart of the devil. It's just your friend, you know, giving you advice. You just answer, shield of faith. The young lions, they may lack and suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. That's the shield of what? Faith. Spiritual warfare. Most people are fighting spiritual warfare. They are just doing the exercise. Right now, everybody, take your shield. They are say, every fairy dart, we block you. We block you. We block you. Bros, you don't chop. Hey, now, what? Country hard. We block you. We block you. Man, will you all die after this? Anything there for house? We block you. That is, he's cooperating with the devil, describing the hardness of the country. The fairy dart is entering his heart, but he's there, blocking it. You get what I'm saying? That was why Job, Abraham, you know, Moses, Jacob, Isaac, they were not bothered about the devil. All they just say simply is that, don't return to that place where your father came from. Isaac said, yes. Then one day he was moving in one direction. God said, don't go there. Sow in this land. He believed that word. Sowed in that land. That same year, he prospered. Do you get the point I'm making? Do you get the point I'm making? What have I dropped today? We'll continue next time. Is part the crucial part of prayer and personal purification is for us to constantly pray for what? For understanding. The way Kenneth Hagin taught us, and I've not been able to improve on it. I've not seen anybody improve on it. You just simply take the scriptures and read it out and put your name there. That's all. He said that's what he did, and that's what I did. And listen, it's not just for preachers. It's for everybody. Everybody needs understanding. That's why you won't make careless mistakes in life. It's because of the understanding of the word of God that you have. I hope you've got to my point today. I hope you've got to my point today. If you're blessed today, say a loud amen, please. Amen.
All right, let's rise to our feet. Let's just share the grace. I wanted us to... Anyway, we'll do that next time because of time. We'll do it next time. All right? Just give the Lord thanks for the word that came forth today. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you because indeed I know I am free. Because I now know what I really need. Thank you for the freedom I have in Christ Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Say, Lord, fill my heart with understanding. I want to know you. Let us declare these words together and then we'll close. Say, the commandments of God have made me wiser than my enemies. For his words are ever before me. Say, I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers. Because his truth and his words are my meditation. Say, I understand more than the elderly. Because I keep the Lord's precepts. Say, I have understanding the word of God. Therefore, I have the wisdom that leads to salvation. Say, therefore, I have the wisdom that leads to salvation. Say, the Holy Spirit is inside me. And he gives me insight. He gives me understanding. So that I am not confused. So that I cannot be swerved by any smooth talk. Say, the Spirit of truth is in me. And it leads me into all truth. Just give the Lord thanks for that. Say, Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll be blessed and abide in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. The rest of this week, I declare you blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Say, the peace of God is with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever you touch will prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go home, you will be safe. Answer me now.
Amen.
As you return, as you come out in the morning, you will be safe.
Amen.
If you travel, you will be safe.
Amen.
If when you come back, you will be safe.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Listen, you will not die, but you will live.
Amen.
Even if you are sick right now, I speak against that sickness. I curse it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I command that you are well in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Any part of your body that you are afflicted, I speak against it because Jesus died for you. I declare you well there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Take your hands and place it anywhere and say to it, say, peace be upon you. And the peace of God will rest there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you get to your house, you put your hand on that door. Say, peace be upon this home. Listen, favor will come there in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every epidemic will disappear from there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The sick that's inside there will begin to get well.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cheer up, brethren.